1 Corinthians chapter number 4. Notice what it says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. I believe our text, we can understand from it that the apostle believed himself to be accountable to the brethren, accountable to the local church. And I believe that this accountability is made manifest in two different ways. First of all, when we look at verse number 1, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ. The word minister, there's an interesting word, because in the original language that it came from, minister was somebody who was an under rower. In other words, on a ship there would be different tiers of those who would row, and they would be the ones that were probably on the bottom. In other words, they were the least esteemed of all the people aboard a ship. And so he rowed from the lowest part. And the Apostle Paul and the apostles didn't consider themselves to be chief or the head of anything, but as an assistant, as that which is an inferior officer. And so we look at this word minister as one who is in a position that they are working on behalf of somebody else, which we also find the word steward, an interesting word as well, a steward of the mysteries of God. A steward is one who attended to the belongings of the master, took care of his needs, took care of the household. Joseph was a steward, and as he took care of the household down there in Egypt, and all that which was in the household he had control of. In such a position, we of course would find the necessity of being faithful. And so verse number 2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found what? Faithful. I believe that of all the attributes that God wants in our lives, faithfulness is certainly at the top of the list, that we might be faithful. God's people, I believe, have a very small idea of their accountability to God. You and I, we got saved by the grace of God. We make a lot about the grace of God, and well should we, because without it, we are lost, we're going to hell. I'm thankful that God is gracious. But I also find from the Word of God that not only is God gracious, but God is one to whom we are accountable. It's not a matter that we find the grace of God and we go off on our merry way and act like a bunch of heathen. God has a specific path for us to follow. God has a way of righteousness for us. And so we conveniently, I believe, overlook that we are accountable to an almighty God. Romans chapter 14, verse 12 says, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. As Paul believed he was accountable to the local church, all of us ought to realize our accountability unto our God. Chapter 5, verse 10 of 2 Corinthians says this, from whence all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And what we find in that verse is very simply that all of us are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, it does not judge whether we're going to heaven or hell. That is taken care of at the day of salvation. But we will stand before the Lord and give an account for what we have done for God since that time. And he, I believe, has given us gifts and abilities and stuff. Everything that God has provided in our lives is that you and I then might use that to do what he wants done with it. Life is not about I think we get all mixed up on this. Life is not about our happiness. Life is about pleasing God. And if we please God, there's going to be happiness from it. But you and I have a responsibility unto Him. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, if you would. And back up just a little ways. And verse number 11. Notice what it says. For other foundation can no man lay than it is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be what? Saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? God is teaching us something very valuable in these verses, and that is simply this. We're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to be judged for what we have done, whether it be good or bad. And that which is good will be rewarded. That which is bad will be, basically, will not get rewards. There will be, I fear, many Christians who stand before the Lord without any rewards. We sometimes we get excited because the thief on the cross got saved. Praise God for that. But there are no works. He had no time for such thing. Thank God for folks that get saved on their deathbed, but there'll be no works. And so yet saved is so by fire. And you and I tonight need to understand we have an accountability to God. That accountability, I believe, is extended to the local church. As we view from the Word of God, church discipline. We'll not go into that tonight, but certainly there is a place for that. We find it in the book of Matthew. And then we find something else. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls." We're not talking about civic leaders here. We're talking about spiritual leaders, as they must give account that they may do with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. And so we find that within the local church, I believe even our fellowship is a matter of accountability one to another. As fellowship is talking about our comradeship, our friendship one with another, and that comes about as we have the same kind of mind. As Philippians says, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. But to make people in a local church accountable for their actions in ministry and stewardship brings great pushback. A few years ago, I said to folks, if you're going to be working with children, whether it be in our Sunday school, whether it be in our, that time, master clubs, you need to be attending our prayer meetings. By the way, I still believe that is a good principle. I still believe that we ought to be involved in praying one for another, praying for those over whom we minister. And to not do so is foregoing, to me, just a great responsibility that is ours. But what I found from that was rebellion like I'd never seen previous. I never experienced in this church anything as rebellious as those days and weeks in which I sought to have that take place. And how we need to understand, though, we need to be accountable one to another. We need to be accountable to our local church. I believe there's a need for all who work with people, or especially young people, to have God's leadership. Would you agree with me? If you are working in, let's say, our, what do we call it? Not master club, magnet clubs, our Sunday school, the VBS that we have once a year, whatever it might be, even as a counselor at camp, when you are in position of leadership, do we not need the leadership of Almighty God? We need His help. We need His ability. We need that in our lives. I believe we need His leadership in what we teach. I believe that's important. For me to come to the pulpit and just grab a few verses and open the Bible up and start talking for a little bit and then sit down, I believe you would be shortchanged. It takes time. I was talking to my sister today as I was preparing a message. She had called me, and she was asking me, what does it take to prepare a message? And I said, well, it's really something, because after all these years, you would think I could just take something and run with it and not be a whole lot of work, but it's more work today than it ever has been in my life. And we need the leadership of God. Even what I'm doing tonight, there were many nights in the last couple of weeks I was awake at different times, and the thoughts of this message came into my heart. Just the way it works. And the thoughts of it at different times. Not only the thoughts, but then going to the Scriptures, finding what God wants us to look at, and all of those things. I believe God wants us to have His leadership on what to teach. Not just grabbing our Bible and reading a story and telling the story to kids, and perhaps even going to the internet and getting a lesson off of that. It need be something that comes from God. It comes from Him to you, to those to whom you are ministering. And it's very, very important. I feel that we probably lose track of that many, many times in our busy schedules, and we just grab whatever we can. One reason we have never, though I've thought about it many times, never had Sunday school materials for our teachers, is that I fear that what takes place then is a Saturday night opening up the book, running through the materials, walking into class, holding materials in our hands rather than the Word of God, and all we do is give some words about a story that means nothing to the young people. How we need to understand that it is so important what we teach. I believe also we need to have His leadership of His heart's desire to see every child come to Christ. We ought to ache in our soul when a student walks out of our class without true salvation. If they've sat under the sound of your voice and heard not the gospel, if they sat under your voice and understood not the things of God and the importance of them getting saved because they're sinners against God, and they are lost and go to hell, that ought to concern us very, very greatly. And we've had many, many kids who've walked through these doors. I've never seen a profession of faith in their life. That ought to concern us very, very deeply. We cannot make a child get saved, nor should we make it so easy that it's easy believism. But at the same time, we need to have that desire that God has for them to come to know true salvation. I believe there's also a need for those who work with young people, it's not just young people, by the way, to have His leadership of seeing every child being able to defend the faith. Because we have today an onslaught of unbelieving leaders. No matter where you go, no matter what you are involved in, you have people who laugh at, ridicule, and mock the gospel. Today, I read a post, and as I was reading that, very good post, and the man who wrote that, I've read several of his articles, and then I read the responses to it. I was so excited to read what he had to say, but then I read the responses, as they called him every name in the book, and how he ought to get real and so forth. When we are dealing with that kind of society, our young people need to know how to defend themselves. They need to understand that there are many out there who are seeking to take them away from their faith. In regards to that, I have set aside 2 months, September and October, for two very definite purposes. One of those is to take time to teach the entire church body, and here's the word apologetics. The word apologetics is not apologizing. It's actually a defense of the faith. It's knowing what you believe and how to defend it with the Word of God. We will deal much with viewing the world through the Bible and how it makes sense. Too often we view the world and then add Bible to it or try to make the Bible make sense with it. We need to see things through God's eyes. We need to see it the way God sees it. Amen? For instance, I'll use the word creation. There's creation and there is evolution. There are those who believe that we evolve from something that's so-called lower in its nature and ability. But God said He created everything. And when I look at the world, I need to look at it through God's eyes. I need to know why I believe that. I believe young people need to know why they believe that. My wife did something for me when I was 19, 20 years of age, not too long after I got saved. After I got saved, I was in biology, and now I'm confronted with the idea of creation. And so we had a discussion one night, and as we were talking about it, I was telling her, well, I believe that God created things in an evolutionary manner. And I didn't know there was a bunch of people who believed that and projected it, wrote books about it and so forth. I thought I came up that with all by myself. And so here I thought, man, I'm really smart. I understand this. And I put these two things together. What is called science, Bible says science falsely so called, and what is called biblical. I remember after quite some discussion, she said to me, and it didn't make sense at the time, she says, well, you're going to have to make a choice. You're going to have to choose one or the other. I went home that night, laid my head down on the pillow, and could not get away from that thought. I remember very vividly making my choice that night and choosing to believe Scripture and what God says about creation, and to take it as He wrote it. God then began to give to me some different books that taught along those lines, especially one that I remember reading was The Flood by an author named Ray Winkle. Any of you ever read that? Tremendous book, which basically is saying that most of what we look at and call evolution took place in the flood. Very scientific, very down-to-earth, and very biblical as well. And so as we look at those 2 months, I want to teach some of that kind of stuff. I believe one of the things we understand is the truthfulness of the Word of God. We need to look at the Bible and realize this is our authority. Too many people think, well, science is more authoritative than the Bible. No, no, no. The Bible is more authoritative. It is most authoritative. It is that which we must follow, no matter what. And as I look at that, I want us to understand we can depend upon the Word of God. In conjunction with that, I have two guest speakers lined up, one in the month of September. He pastored for a number of years up in Wisconsin, Brother Randy King. He's been here before. And he's going to be here for about 3-4 days, but a couple of those sessions will be upon being able to trust the Word of God. And then in November, after we're basically through this, I lost his name, Stauffer. What's his first name? He will be with us. Some of you might remember him. And he will be dealing with the reliability of the King James Version. But not only during these 2 months do I want to take time to teach the entire body. Some people say, well, you can't teach all of them because you've got to divide up into classes. Is that what Jesus did when he got in the boat and all the throngs were out there on the shore? Did they put kids in a little class by themselves? Oh, Jesus taught all of them. Do you realize that for 40 years I have taught kindergarten through 12th grade on a daily basis? We call it chapel, but each one of them can learn, they can gain. And so we're going to take some time during that period to deal with that. There's another reason I want to do that. Particular thing is I hope that you can go home with your families and when daddies know what the rest of them have been taught, you can sit down and talk about those things and reinforce it in their lives. But also during that time, I would like for our Sunday school teachers especially, who will not have the responsibility of teaching, to assess your teaching and to look at it. What have I done right? What have I done wrong? I believe we need to do that. I do that quite often. Matter of fact, about every time I preach a message. And many times, my wife can tell you, I go home, I'm down in the dumps. Chad can tell you, I know he's had the same problem. And you're thinking, man, I bombed out today. I remember one time preaching a message I thought was so bad, I go back to the back. I didn't even want to go to the back. I wanted to go back here in one of these rooms and hide till everybody was gone. And I went back there, and somebody walked up to me and said, Pastor, man, that really touched my heart today. My words exactly to them were, you're kidding. I couldn't believe that that would have touched anybody's heart. But God does things that we're not aware of sometimes. But how we need to assess ourselves, I want you to do that. I want you also during that time, because here's an area of accountability, to develop an overall lesson plan for the rest of the year. Too often we go from Sunday to Sunday, we grab this, we grab that, but we need to have a plan in mind. What direction are we going? What do we want to get across to our kids? How's this going to help them to come to know Christ? How's this going to help them to know how to defend the faith that they might stand? All the studies are showing that well over 90% of our young people, when they get to be 18 and 19, leave the church. What's going on? Because all the emphasis the world places upon science and so forth leaves them believing the Bible is not true. And the second thing they do is they look at the Christians within the church, and many times they're Sunday school teachers, and they look at them and they decide that Bible is not real to those folks. I've seen them, I've heard them, I've observe things in their life that is not true to the Word of God. And when that happens, and all the other onslaughts that they have, what do? They turn. And how we need, I believe, to seek to reach the next generation. Whether they be our kids or bus kids or whoever's kids they are, those that are neighbors, but how we need to reach them for Christ. Amen. That's what God left us here for. I don't know why God left me here. I don't know why he didn't take me. I was gone and he shoved me back. I was told two different times. I don't know what he has in mind. But I was reading the other day and was talking about how he wants to declare it to the next generation. The next generation needs Christ. Amen. They need him desperately. And if we're not willing to live and to walk and to stand for the things of God, they're not, and they need that in our lives. They need to see it. Amen. They need to see that it's real to us. They need to see that we're faithful to it. We stick at it. Other things don't get in our way. And that God is indeed the most important one of our lives. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you, O God, that you have saved us by your grace. But Lord, we also realize and recognize we are accountable for the things we do in this body. Accountable for the gifts, the abilities you've laid upon each of us, that we might use them for the glory of God. Yea, we're even accountable not only to each other, but the generation that follows. Lord God, use us, bless us, and help us to understand that you're wanting your will to be accomplished, not ours. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.